All right, as I mentioned, we'd go back to back, and we will. We are joined right now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, the recipient of 18 national awards from the Associated Press, sports editor, co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. He is Pat Forte. Pat, Happy New Year. Good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, great to be on with you again. Happy New Year to you.
You too. Pat, great to talk to you as always. A lot to talk about in college football. Pat, let me start with your piece from over the weekend where Texas fired Tom Herman, replaced him with Steve Sarkisian. Given that just 3 weeks earlier, Pat, Texas gave its support to Herman, what was your reaction when you heard that he had been fired?
I was very surprised. Perhaps I was a bit naive because looking back, the statement of support for Tom Herman was very unenthusiastic. I mean, it was the bare minimum of he's our coach. That was basically it, and that was probably a sign. But still, Jim, you know, the thing that stood out to me is they made that announcement 5 days before signing day. They signed a class, a top 20 class of recruits, and then they basically pulled a bait and switch on them. And, you know, they fired the coach, fired the staff, and they're going to now have an entirely different staff. And I think it's beholden to them to release those kids from their letters of intent and let them decide whether they want to sign with the new staff or not. So that and the cost involved, $24 million to buy out Tom Herman and his staff, given the fact that we're in a pandemic that's crushing budgets everywhere, including at the University of Texas, it's a really bad look, I think, for Texas.
We're talking to Pat Forte. Pat, to that point, I mean, it's the $24, $25 million to buy him and the staff out. But as you point out, the entire coaching change is going to cost probably upwards of $40 to $50 million when you factor in Sarkisian and his staff, all during a pandemic. And shortly after that, department had to lay off 35 people. I mean, what's that say about the athletic department at Texas and the boosters at Texas?
Well, it says they got a lot of money, for one thing.
Right?
I mean, you know, they're rolling in revenues during normal times, and they've got a lot of other boosters with a lot of money. But that also means that they get to say what happens to a degree. And if they decide that Tom Herman's not doing well enough for their taste, then he's out and somebody else is in. And, you know, if you're one of those people, if you were working in on the maintenance staff and you got laid off, if you were working in media relations and got laid off, if you were a secretary and you got your pay cut and they turn around and do this, I would think you'd have a pretty bitter taste in your mouth, because maybe the athletic director should ask some of the fat cap boosters, say, hey, thanks for the $50 million here so we can do this, but how about another million so we can give these people back their jobs? You know, that's where the too-big-to-fail aspect of football, especially at places like Texas, can be a little bit off-putting at times.
We're talking to Pat Forte. Well said. So, Pat, looking back, why do you think that things did not work out for Herman at Texas?
You know, I'm really surprised, because I thought 5 years ago when he was at Houston and when Steve Sarkisian was being fired at USC that, you know, Tom Herman's star was ascending, and we weren't sure whether we'd ever hear of Steve Sarkisian again. So, you know, things change, but mostly, I think Herman came in, while he understood Texas, I'm not sure he understood the importance of having alliances with important people at Texas. And then, you know, I think he figured his teams would just win and it didn't really matter. But when you didn't necessarily win 11 or 12 games, then if you weren't buddies with people, that was a problem. And his teams were talented, but they just kept making key mistakes at key times. They never really established a consistent excellence. They were basically just another team in the Big 12 every year. You know, every game was 7 points this way, 7 points that way. They just never fully exerted utilized the talent that they had.
So now they move on. Pat Forte is joining us. Pat, you made the point and the argument that if Texas were hiring Urban Meyer, then it might make sense to move on for Herman, especially at that cost. But how big of an upgrade, Pat, is Sark over Herman?
Don't know. You know, we'll see. I mean, that's thing with Urban, you can feel pretty certain that you were going to have a national title contender quickly, because that's the track record. Sark hadn't been a head coach in 5 years. When he was, his record was kind of underwhelming. I mean, you know, he had a 9-4 season at USC, which is kind of ho-hum, you know, and when USC is on rolling well, and then he gets fired. And look, you know, for his sake, you hope it's a great redemption story, and he had some personal problems, and he's put those behind him, and he's done very good work at Alabama. But you're also working with the greatest head coach in history in Nick Saban, and with superior talent to anyone in the nation. So at Texas, you have chance to have superior talent, but right now you don't. And so what's he going to do with the hand that he has dealt and the hand that he can recruit? We don't know. It's totally jury out, I think.
We're talking to Pat Forte. Before I let you go, Pat, and I appreciate your thoughts on that story. What about the semifinal and the final itself? How impressed, for instance, were you with the way Ohio State showed up in the second semifinal, especially given how they had looked throughout the season?
Yeah, I was blown away, Jim. I just really was. I thought that I didn't think they could win, and I thought they may even get trucked a bit by Clemson just because I thought Clemson was playing at a much higher level. And then Ohio State just stepped it up three levels, and the way they executed, the way they performed, Justin Fields, really one of the great performances I've seen from a quarterback, especially after nearly having his ribcage split in half. Just courageous and brilliant. And their defense played better. Trey Sermon has been a monster lately. Their receivers are excellent. Their offensive line is excellent. So they've got the parts, and I think it's going to be a real shootout in the final with Alabama.
Pat Forte, my guest. I mean, an amazing win for Ohio State and an amazing performance. What about Clemson? What about the flip side? How bad of a loss was that for Clemson?
It was bad. It was especially bad for Dabo Swinney, who ran his mouth a bit. And, if you hand out that bulletin board material of putting Ohio State 11th and know that's going to be public, and then you go out and get run over, that's a bad look. And, Dabo's had a great, great run, and it's going to continue. They've got really good players, but you lose Trevor Lawrence, and even though the next quarterback is really talented, he may not be Trevor Lawrence. It's just a situation where they've had a great, as I said, a great run, but you may have missed a little bit of a window here with Trevor. They should probably still be a top five program. They may eventually be a national champion again. But you wonder if the last 2 years, if they maybe missed a chance to add a second or third national title under Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, Pat, before I ask you about the final, really quickly, when you look at the landscape right now in college football for the past few years, I mean, the sport really is about three teams, right? Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, then maybe finding a fourth team to round out the field. If that's the case, how big of a problem is that for the sport? And is that something that can actually be changed?
I don't think it's good. I really don't. College football is a great national sport when everybody can be involved. And right now, there's diminished interest, I think, on the West Coast because the West Coast isn't competitive. In the Midwest and upper Midwest and even to the Northeast, it's Ohio State and nobody else, basically. Notre Dame can get there but can't compete. And, yeah, as you said, it's a three-team sport at this point. And I just think that everything's better when it's a little bit bigger tent, and more people are involved, more people say, hey, we've got a chance this year. When you're going into a season saying, only three teams have a chance, that's just not good.
No doubt. All right, Pat, finally then, what about the matchup in the championship game? For instance, what kind of a game are you expecting, and does Ohio State's best beat Alabama's best?
A lot of points, I expect. I think that when these two played in the semifinals in 2014, it was 42-35. I think it's going to be higher scoring than that. We've got great quarterbacks. We've got ridiculous receivers. We've got ridiculous running backs. We've got great coaches, big brands, big traditions, big braggers. There's a lot of arrogance that goes in with these two programs into this. So, it's going to be a fun build-up to it. I think Ohio State can win. I still favor Alabama. This may be a small point, but one thing that stood out to me, Alabama dispatched Notre Dame as expected and acted like, okay, next. Ohio State dispatched Clemson and, somewhat understandably, kind of went crazy afterwards. They were celebrating big time. The defensive coordinator, Kerry Combs, is doing confetti angels on the field. No Nick Saban assistants are doing something like that after a semifinal win. And so you kind of wonder how big a bullet Ohio State shot. And what's the reload capability here? Whereas Alabama, I think, is just like, yep, we're ready for the next game right now.
Really interesting point. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, a co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, which is an excellent listen. He is Pat Forte. Pat, always good to have you on the show. Great job, as always. Thank you very much, Pat.
Thank you, Romy. Appreciate it.
You're the best, Pat. Pat Forte. He is the recipient of 18 national awards from the AP Sports Editor, one of the best there is. All right, so what do you make of that? I think these are all really salient points. And what about that championship game? did they maybe, Ohio State, did they maybe fire their big shot prior to when Alabama was just going on business as usual?